Welcome to the Thought Leader Podcast. As we heard in the previous episode, identifying the right people to be on your team is important to the team's success. The focus on today's podcast is on the recruitment process of team development, successfully inviting your ideal team member to be part of the team. Now, here's Todd Jones.
Welcome. I'm Todd Jones, and you're listening to Michigan District's Thought Leader Podcast Series. Our conversations about team are merely an academic exercise if we're unable to add people to the team. There are three aspects or phases to recruiting people to be part of your team. First, there's preparing people for the ask. Second, there's the actual invitation to be part of the team. And third, there is follow-up from the ask. Let's look at each of those aspects to identify their potential failure points and solutions that can help you be more successful at recruiting people to be part of your team. We don't tend to think about preparing people for the ask as the first step in the recruitment process. However, it can be one of the most important aspects of recruitment. If done properly, it can make the actual ask process much easier and much more productive. Preparing people for the ask involves informing them of the need or opportunity for the team and the purpose or goal for the team. There are many ways that this can be accomplished. The most common and least risky is to put together a newsletter or bulletin article about the team. It is true that people rarely volunteer to be part of a team based on an announcement. In fact, I would suggest that it is not desirable. It's not desirable because it allows people to self-select to be part of the team. And when people self-select to be part of the team, there's little control over the team's composition, and therefore the healthy interaction among the team members is at risk. It's been my experience that few, if any, pay attention to newsletters or bulletin announcements, except for that one person who has a history of sabotaging projects and making your life miserable. Rather than using the newsletter or bulletin to ask people to join, use them to promote the project, to promote the team, to promote the purpose of the team. The purpose of the written communications regarding the team is to inform people and excite them about the possibility of being on the team and making a difference in the church and in the community. Just a little practical tip. You want to begin seeding the article or information several weeks or even a couple of months before you begin the asking process. You want to keep the asking process, the actual invitation to individuals, closely connected to the publication. In other words, you don't want to put out an article in August so that in November you can invite them to be part of your team. You would want to put out a series of articles beginning in August, maybe going through the very first week of September, so that in the second and third week of September, you would begin to invite people to be part of your team. You want the information to be fresh in the minds of the people so that the invitation appears to be timely. A critical aspect of making people aware of the opportunity to serve on the team is to focus on the purpose of the team. And you want to ensure that the purpose is not self-serving. It's not about building a better church. It's not about making people happy or having fun at the church. It needs to be focused on the kingdom of God. It needs to be focused on impacting lives with the gospel, making an eternal difference. The reason I say it needs to be about the kingdom of God is that any other motive becomes self-serving and actually promotes consumerism rather than promoting the self-sacrificial life that God desires for each and every one of us. So think about, what is the purpose? How does this group serve the kingdom of God? Hopefully you've already formulated the greater purpose of the group as you thought about the right player. If not, it needs to be done now so that your communications are consistent and you don't overpromise and underdeliver. Here's what you don't want to do. You wouldn't want to describe the purpose of the team to beautify the church so that people will enjoy being part of our congregation. Now, that sounds good and reasonable, and certainly there are benefits to beautifying the church and in creating a more engaging environment. However, the goal is self-serving. It's about building up the organization, the congregation. It's not about connecting people to the gospel. It isn't difficult to reword the purpose statement and focus the group on a higher purpose while accomplishing the desired task. In that case, the invitation would say something like, I'm organizing a team to ensure that the church property and interior spaces communicate God's unconditional love in Jesus to the community and to those who enter our doors. A second point of failure in the general announcements is the tendency to soft sell the work of the team. You don't want to tell people that it will be a relaxed, fun environment with little work required if, in fact, there's going to be some intense discussions, some healthy conflict, and a great deal of work involved. Now, obviously, you're not going to get many people to sign up if you tell them it's going to be hell, and you're going to be miserable, and you're probably going to have to take heart medication while you're on the team, but, in the end, it will be the most rewarding time of your life. There's nothing wrong with having fun while doing hard work or a difficult task. However, when that becomes the pitch to get team members, that becomes the goal and the measure of success on the team. I have found it to be most helpful to focus on the purpose of the initiative rather than focus on the team at all. Focus on the goal of what you want to accomplish, what you hope to accomplish through the team process, rather than focusing on the requirements of being a member of the team. Remember, very few people respond to public announcements and invitations to join, so use the strength of public announcements to your advantage. Their strength is to bring awareness of needs and opportunities. As people become aware of the needs and opportunities, it's time to begin the actual recruitment of volunteers. Now, my previous podcast covers the basics of the actual ask conversation. However, it was written in the context of recruiting volunteers in a generic environment, rather than the specific situation of recruiting volunteers to the team. What's the difference? Though it's not significant, there is a key difference. The focus for successful recruiting of people to volunteer for a project or cause is to make the connection between the individual's passion and the purpose of the project. The focus on recruiting people to be a part of the team is divided between the purpose of the team and the other people that are on the team. In other words, you're asking someone to commit to a group of people, not just a project. As you can imagine, that adds to the complexity. It's not just a matter of answering the questions, what are we going to do, how long is it going to take, and what do you expect of me? But we also have to answer the question, who's on the team? It may be that you don't have the team formed yet, so the question is, who else do you plan to invite to be a part of the team? Teams get much more done than individuals, but there is the price to be paid, and that price is the added labor of managing relationships. Now, the invitation to a team should include an overview of the team's composition, as well as the process through which the team will function or operate. What I mean is that you should clarify if the team will be collaborative or a cooperative team. This is something that needs to be thought about as you prepare to recruit people to be part of your team. The internet is great for lists. And if you do a search for recruiting team members, you'll find a variety of lists that are available, some more helpful than others. Based on my experience and research, I believe that there are a few helpful pointers in recruiting people to be part of your ministry team. We encourage a positive reception with potential candidates to our teams when we reframe the process as an invitation rather than recruitment. For some reason, people are turned off by the phrase recruiting. It's almost like a headhunter imagery. You know, I'm going to go out and bag my limit of volunteers. I'm not exactly sure why, and research supports this idea that people have a negative connotation about the word recruitment. On the other hand, they are positive toward the idea of the invitation. It doesn't feel like they're being painted into the corner. It feels like you're giving them an option as you invite them. So it's best to describe the process as an invitational process, even though in reality, this system is about recruiting people to be part of your team. Think about it in terms of an invitation. I mentioned earlier that relationships are an added complication to the recruitment process, but they can also work for us. First, relationships have a gravitational pull in and of themselves. Knowing that quality people will be serving with them on the team makes the opportunity to be a part of the team even more attractive to the candidate. Second, having had favorable interaction with some of the other potential team members addresses the fear of not being able to work within the team. Third, and finally, The team dynamic indicates that the task to be achieved by the team will not entirely rest on the shoulder of one person. The work will be distributed across many. The likelihood of success is a strong argument to join the team. Invitation is respectful to the individual. It focuses on their right, their power, to step back from the invitation and say no without hurting another person's feelings. As you think about the words that you use to recruit, think about them in terms of an invitation. You are extending to a person an opportunity to be a part of your team. It is important to have laid the groundwork for the needs and/or opportunities that are the focus of the team. However, it is also helpful to present to the potential team member the benefits they might experience as a result of serving on the team. While the purpose of the team should be the primary point of the ask, serving on the team may also benefit them personally. This part of the invitation could look something like this. As I was putting together a list of potential team members, I thought of you and want to invite you to be part of the team. I know that you're a person who likes working in a collaborative environment. You seem to enjoy the give and take of discussion and debate. I believe that this team will allow you to experience that kind of interaction and to grow in your ability as a collaborative team member. You'll note, for this to work, you need to know the interest of the person you're inviting to the team. You need to be confident about the type of interaction that will take place on the team. This brings up a common failure point that I want to take a few minutes to talk about. I wonder if too often we approach volunteerism as if we are adding a burden to an individual. You know, we apologetically approach them as if we were asking for their last breath. In truth, our ask involves taking some of their energy and time, which are likely stretched too thin as it is. However, we are also providing an opportunity for them to benefit. When we approach the recruitment process with a mindset that we are only going to be laying a burden on the individual, we're hesitant in the ask. We are cautious as we invite them to be part of the team. Our apologetic approach leaves the potential team members with the impression that the team and its cause are not really that important. We need to get it embedded in our DNA that if we've done our job right, and that there actually is a need to be addressed by this team, a purpose that benefits the kingdom of God, if we are convinced of that and we are committed to healthy team processes, we are inviting people to a tremendous opportunity for personal growth and development. We are inviting them to experience community at a higher level. We're giving them an opportunity to build relationships with people that may last a lifetime. We should be confident. We should move with conviction that we are giving them an opportunity. I want to share a few benefits that we might receive when we participate in a collaborative team within ministry. First, we may gain confidence. Volunteering can help people gain confidence by giving them the chance to try something new and build a real sense of achievement. Second, they might actually make a difference. Volunteering can have a real and valuable positive effect on people, the community, and the world around them. Third, they will meet new people. Volunteering can help them meet new people, different kinds of people, and be a part of a vibrant community. And that's number four. Volunteering can help them feel like they're a part of something outside of their traditional friends and family network. Five, being a part of the team may allow them to learn new skills and expand their capacity. Six, being a part of the team will allow them to learn how to take on challenges, how to address problems, and how to overcome obstacles. Seven, being a part of the team can be fun. It should be fun. That's not the goal, but it should be part of the process. Enjoying other people's company, getting something done that makes a difference, it's fun. Eighth, it gives them an opportunity to set a good example for other people. You know, lots of people talk the talk, but very few actually make the effort to walk the walk. Being part of a team that makes a difference will inspire others to get involved as well. Ninth, being part of the team gives people an opportunity to do good. Every day we're bombarded with disheartening news stories Volunteering presents a proactive way of doing something to make the world a better place. As you can see, there are many positive reasons someone should feel honored that you are inviting them to be a part of your team. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on the actual invitation conversation. I covered that in the previous podcast. But I do want to remind you of the content of your ask. Your invitation should cover the following. You should share the need or opportunity to be addressed by the team. What's the purpose of the team? What is the length of commitment that you anticipate for the team? How often will you meet? How will the team function? Is it collaborative or cooperative? And what are some specific skills or prerequisite knowledge that you expect of the team members? And finally, answer the question, why me? Why are you asking me to be part of the team? After providing them the invitation to the team and answering any questions, ask them to pray about the invitation. Give them a week to provide an answer to the invitation. Now, what if they say no? The answer to that question depends on their reason for the no. Perhaps the answer no was because of circumstance apart from the opportunity itself. You know, the time was just not right. Then invite them to be part of the prayer group that supports the team as it carries out its activity. Keep them involved in what's taking place, and hopefully as opportunities or life circumstances change, they will eventually join the team. If they express the belief that they didn't have the skill set needed for the team, or that it was a larger project than they wanted to take on at that particular time in their life, invite them to be part of the support team. A group of people that they can call upon and ask to volunteer for specific activities that the team might use to accomplish its goals. These short-term volunteer opportunities are a great way to engage people who are busy and give them a taste of volunteerism. And hopefully, at some point, get them more invested in the mission and ministry of the church. The point is, in recruitment, no never means no, not ever. Generally, no means not right now, please. Take it that way unless they say never, ever talk to me again about recruiting or volunteering to be part of the ministry. It could happen. It's never happened to me, but perhaps it could happen to you. Successfully inviting people to be a member of the team involves preparing people for the invitation by making a case for the cause, matching the passion of the right people to the team's purpose, and a compelling, personalized ask. If you've not had great track record in getting people to join your team, I would encourage you to think about the three characteristics of making the case, matching the person to the cause, and a compelling ask, and identifying your area of greatest weakness. If you have difficulty with making a case, you might want to work through the vision-driven leader, 10 questions to focus your efforts, energize your team, and scale your business by Michael Hyatt. If you have difficulty matching the right person to the purpose, I would suggest the coach model for Christian leaders, powerful leadership skills for solving problems, reaching goals, and developing others by Keith Webb. If you have difficulty with a compelling ask, I would suggest the book 7 Habits for Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. I suggest the book because the habits the author describes are very helpful for building a great team. I'm Todd Jones with the Michigan District. If you have questions, comments, or would like further conversation about this topic, don't hesitate to connect with me through email at todd.jones@michigandistrict.org. Have a great day in the Lord.